Good afternoon. Happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm talking to you this afternoon from the North Carolina Reading Service, where we breathe words into your life since 1983. The name of our program is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes or so, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. And we're working on some New Testament scripture right now. We also read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, which is written by Sarah Young. And from time to time, we'll also read other words of inspiration from well-known theologians and Christian writers. But as we normally do, let's begin with prayer on this first day of March 2020. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence this day. Thank you so very much for our listening audience, and we thank you so very much for the North Carolina Reading Service. Father, we ask that the words spoken today may be touching the hearts and minds and souls of our listeners, that they may come to you, Father, humble and contrite, that we may glorify your name in all that we do that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, these words from the book of Romans are inspirational and teach us so very much, and help us to discern these words. Help me to read them clearly and to articulate your intentions that was breathed by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this and all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Sarah Young writes today on March 1st, "When something in your life or thoughts makes you anxious, come to me and talk about it. Bring me your prayer and petition with thanksgiving, saying, 'Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to trust you more.' Though the lessons of trust that I send to you come wrapped in difficulties, the benefits far outweigh the costs. Well-developed trust will bring you many blessings, not the least of which is my peace. I have promised to keep you in perfect peace to the extent that you trust in me. The world has it backwards, teaching that peace is the result of having enough money, enough possessions, enough insurance, or enough security systems. My peace, however, is such an all-encompassing gift that it is independent of all circumstances. Though you lose everything else, if you gain my peace, you are rich indeed." A couple scripture verses that support this reading today is Philippians 4, Chapter 4, verses 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And then Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." Thank you, Miss Young. We always enjoy your words. We're going to pick up where we left off last time. We're actually going to take a few verses earlier. We're going to start with chapter 14. Last time we finished around 14:14, so we're going to begin on the even number of chapter 14, the book of Romans. In our reading from last Sunday, we in chapters 9 through 13, we were enlightened to God's plan for Gentiles and for Israel. God came to we come to God through Jesus, and we become God's sovereign choice. It is his mercy that we learned last week that chooses us. If we hear God's word today, that means that he wants us. So you sitting at home, you sitting in your car, you sitting wherever you are right now, you're hearing these words not because they're my words, because they're inspired by the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans from the Apostle Paul. God's calling you. God wants you. God wants you in his family. God wants you to be inspired and to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Paul also urges us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And we are encouraged not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Join me today as we conclude Paul's letter to the Romans. And again, we start with chapter 14, which reads, "Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down upon him who does not eat. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than the other. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. He who gives thanks to God and who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account to God himself. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Excuse me. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. And this is a quote from Psalm 18:49. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, and this is from Deuteronomy, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again from the book of Psalms, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And then in Revelations it says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points as to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power and signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is said, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to come see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, then they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have all received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy, and together we will be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Sincera. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but for all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved, in Christ. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Typotha, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been the mother to me too. Greet Asterinkius, Phleglon, Hermes, Patros, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philogus, Julia, Nerissus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus will be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as does Lucius, Jason, and Sepastar, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church enjoy here, sends his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send their greetings as well. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command and the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey in him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that was the book of Romans. And what I'd like to do quickly is kind of review the mega themes from Romans. It's been over about 4 weeks that we've read through the book of Romans, all 16 chapters, taking about four chapters at a time. So there are five main areas, five mega themes that the entire book reflected upon. What I'd like to do is tell you what those are, what the theme is, what the explanation is, and why it's important. So the first one was sin. And the definition of sin here in the book of Romans, sin means refusing to do God's will and failing to do all that God wants. Since Adam's rebellion against God, our nature is to disobey him. Our sin cuts us off from God. Sin causes us to want to live our own way rather than God's way. Because God is morally perfect, just, and fair, he is right to condemn sin. The importance of sin is this: each person has sinned, either by rebelling against God or by ignoring his will. No matter what our background or how hard we try to live good and moral lives, we cannot earn salvation or remove our sin. Only Christ can save us. That's the important piece regarding sin. Megatheme number two is salvation. Our sin points out our need to be forgiven and cleansed. Although we don't deserve it, God in his kindness reached out to love us and to forgive us. He provides the way for us to be saved. Christ's death paid the penalty for our sin. Please embrace that. Christ's death paid the penalty for our sin. Christ took the entire burden of everyone's sin on his shoulders that day up on the cross. His resurrection gives us new life, a life with Christ, a life with God. The importance of the salvation mega theme is this: it is good news that God saves us from our sin, but in order to enter into a wonderful new relationship with God, we must believe that Jesus died for us and that he forgives all our sin. Mega theme number three, growth. By God's power, believers are sanctified. That means to be made holy. This means that we are set apart from sin, enabled to obey and to become more like Christ. When we are growing in our relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit frees us from the demands of the law and the fear from judgment. Are you growing right now in your walk with Christ? That's what God wants for us. He wants us to continue to grow through different seasons of our lives. We may face different challenges. Maybe we get disappointed, or maybe we get ill, or maybe we have something else happen to us. Look at those as opportunities, first to give thanks, praise, and glory to God in all things, but also that may be God's way of helping us continuing to grow, and that growth is relying on him more and more and more. Think of it this way. When we breathe, we do it instinctively. We don't think about it. It just happens. Our relationship with God and our relationship with God through Christ should be the same way. It shouldn't be something we think about. It shouldn't be something that it's Sunday morning, let us go to service. Oh, it's Sunday, Reflections is on the North Carolina Reading Service. It should be something we just do. It's natural. And that's the way it was originally made for us to be. And that's the way it will be again in Jesus' second coming. the importance of growth. Because we are free from sin's control, the law's demands, and the fear of God's punishment, we can grow in our relationship with Christ. By trusting in the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to help us, we can overcome sin and temptation. Sovereignty. That's megatheme number 4. God oversees and cares about His people, their past, their present, and their future. God's ways of dealing with people are always fair. Always fair. Because God is in charge of all creation. He can save whomever He wills. God makes that decision. Again, if you're hearing this program today, that's a sign that God wants you in His family. Because of God's mercy, both Jews and Gentiles can be saved. We all must respond to His mercy and acceptance and accept His gracious offer of forgiveness because He is sovereign. Let Him reign in your heart. And the fifth mega theme that we experience in the book of Romans was service. When our purpose is to give credit to God for His love, His power, His perfection, and all we do, we can serve Him properly. Serving Him unifies all believers and enables them to show love and sensitivity to others. None of us, and the importance of services is none of us can be fully Christ-like by ourselves. It takes the entire body of Christ to fully express Christ. By actively and vigorously building up other believers, Christians can be a symphony of service to God. So those were the mega themes here in the book of Romans, really powerful book written by the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And he really showed us what to believe and then how to behave in that belief. So we have some more time here today, and what I'd like to do in the reading that we're going to be following this year, in a couple weeks we're supposed to be reading the book of Philemon. Well, the book of Philemon only has one chapter, and if you give me a moment, I will find that for us, and we will go to it. And I have found it, and we will go to it. So Philemon was a friend of Paul. And Philemon was an interesting person. He had slaves, and he was a wealthy member of the Colossian church. So Paul wrote him a letter in about 60 A.D., and the letter had something to do with Philemon's slave, and his name was, let me see if I can pronounce this correctly, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and Onesimus did something to his master Philemon, and Paul writes him a letter regarding this. So this is an interesting letter in the fact that it's very short. It's also very eloquent in the fact that it asks for forgiveness and for people to look at people differently than the way they probably do. And let's learn from this. So Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good deed we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And again, this is directed towards Philemon. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him to you, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him here with me so that he could continue to take care of your place by helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. but I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done wrong, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me for your very self. I do wish, brother, that I can have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark and Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And that was Philemon. Again, very short, very direct. His previous slave had done Philemon wrong. The slave meets Paul while Paul was in Rome, actually in prison in Rome, became a convert to believing in Jesus Christ, and wanting to do what is right, goes back to his original slave owner. And Paul's encouragement to Philemon was not to accept him as his slave, but to accept him as his brother in Christ. And that's how we should all be looking at each other. And that's that unity that God looks for us in us, looks for in us. There are several scripture references, and I don't have one in the top of my head to give to you, but you know, Jesus is the head of the church, and he looks at the church as his bride. And the church is the unity of other brothers and sisters. And that's what God's will for us here on earth is, to be unified, to have one clear conscience and one clear mission, which is to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, to love him and to serve him and to glorify him. And that's what our purpose truly, truly is. So I want to thank you for joining the program today. We have a few more minutes before the program ends. I'd like to end in a prayer, and I'd like us to please bow our heads and take a couple deep breaths. Hopefully it's fairly quiet where you are, and hear your breath. Hear yourself breathe in and breathe out. It's so very important for us to find that quiet time in the Lord. God asks us to give him our time so that we can befriend the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be brothers with him and have that special time to get together, or we can proclaim our love for him, and then we can feel and hear his love for us. Jesus does so very much love you. He loves you with all his heart, and the fact that he gave his life up on the cross, that his death may destroy sin and his resurrection may give you new life, that new life in God. So thank you for joining us today. I pray that you and your families are healthy and well. Please be sure to listen to us again next week. We hope that you've enjoyed these special words. My name again is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program was again intended for the blind and print impaired audience. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. May the peace of God be with you and your loved ones this day and every day. Peace.